Hare Krishna, I'm in Kazakhstan on the farm, and this is Tuesday. I arrived early morning on Sunday, at which time I was able to send a podcast through the landline that I have here in the house that Govinda Maharaj gave me. I have this little house all to myself. And everything is very nice and neat and clean. Fortunately, there are no bulldozers in sight, although the whole issue of their being here has not yet been settled and has yet to be settled. There's a big lake just to the back of the house. Yesterday, we went swimming there, and I've been participating in the temple programs, although there's no festival per se, but mostly I'm just here to associate with the devotees and discuss with Govinda Maharaj about possible strategies for resolving this whole Kazakhstan situation. Yesterday, although I made a podcast, it wasn't really possible to send it away. The landline is just too busy, and it would have taken perhaps hour upon hour in order for me to send it here today. One devotee is going to kindly take this into the city and send it on broadband line, and I hope that you'll all hear it, because today I'd like to speak a little about Lord Balaram's appearance day, which is going to be taking place tomorrow. And hopefully you'll have heard this before that day and had opportunity to meditate upon Lord Balaram, upon his pastimes, to pray to him, and to situate yourselves in the consciousness which is suitable for receiving the Lord. Lord Balaram is technically known as Krishna's Vaibhav Prakash. He's a full expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when Krishna appears in the material world, he appears sometimes as his older brother, as Baladev, sometimes as his younger brother, as Lakshman. And it's said that the only distinction between the two is the color of their skin. Balaram is fair and Lord Krishna is dark. From Srimad Bhagavatam we hear how under the order of the Lord, Yogamaya transferred Balaram from Devaki's womb into the womb of Rohini. Of course, Devaki was in the prison of Kams, and Rohini Devi was under the protection of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan Dham. Then, 7 months later, in this auspicious moment, and during this month, which is known as the month of Shravana, Rohini gave birth to Lord Balaram, whose complexion is just like a beautiful white lotus flower, and overall whose appearance is like the full moon. Lord Balaram's eyes flash like thunder, like lightning, and his color is dark, like Krishna's complexion, the color of a cloud. When Lord Balaram appeared, then astrologers had said that he would kill many brothers, he would kill many demons, and that he would have a younger brother who would kill even more demons than Balaram. It was interesting to note that although Lord Balaram stole everyone's minds by his attractive features, his sweet movements, he remained completely dumb, not willing to make any type of sound at all. And this silence of Lord Balaram prevailed until one day Mother Yashoda, who, being pregnant with Krishna, picked him up and placed him next to her. when Balaram was thus close to Krishna, who was within the womb of Mother Yashoda, he began to laugh and play just like children normally do. When Mother Yashoda put him down again, then again he would become silent and lethargic as he was before. And this would be actually Balaram's condition until Krishna took birth, at which time Lord Balaram fully manifests his childhood characteristics and sweetness. When they were young, Krishna and Balaram would play just like children do play, sometimes holding on to the tails of the calves and being dragged through the mud of Vrindavan Dham. As they became a little older, then they had the responsibility of taking care of the calves, and Krishna and Balaram playing their flutes along with their cowherd boyfriends would walk throughout the nearby forests of Vrindavan tending the young calves. But as they came older and they entered into the Poganda age, between their 6th and 10th year, then the cowherd men allowed them to take care of the cows. And this way Krishna and Balaram every morning would take the cows and leave the town of Vrindavan and herd the wonderful Sarabi cows of Nanda Maharaj's herd along the banks of the Jamuna, making them eat the sweet grasses that just naturally, spontaneously sprung up from the soil of Vrindavan. As much as the cows would eat, the grasses would naturally keep on growing because the earth was in so much ecstasy to feel the footprints of Krishna and Balaram, to feel the touch of the lotus feet, to hear the sound of their laughing and playing, that grass would grow in such abundance that it would completely satisfy the great herd which the cowherd boys would guide along what we now call as the cowherd boy trail. While the cowherd boys would look after the cows, they would simultaneously dance and sing and play, throw bale fruits like balls, wrestle with each other, decorate each other with shoots, flowers, minerals, and the feathers of birds, especially peacocks. And when it became too hot, then they would just jump into the Jamuna and swim and play, imitating frogs, engaged in all kinds of transcendental nonsense. It was transcendental because everything that they did, although it resembled the playing of rowdy children, was for Krishna's pleasure. And it was indeed pleasing to Krishna. And of course, Vrindavan Dham reciprocated with the desire of Krishna to herd his cows, in that there were always sweet, cool breezes blowing which would refresh their minds and bodies. They would be always able to collect and eat fruits, vegetables, shoots and roots that grew just abundantly everywhere in Vrindavan. The birds sang very sweetly, and the bees would hum, and this collective sound with the rustling of the leaves was very conducive for the happy mood which the cowherd boys and the cows relished. There's a wonderful chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam in which Krishna glorifies Vrindavan forest, but does it in a way that he describes the offerings of Vrindavan Forest as being made to his elder brother Balaram. For instance, Lord Krishna says, "My dear brother, you're superior to all of us, and your lotus feet are worshipped by the demigods. Just see how these trees full of fruits have bent down to worship your lotus feet. It appears that they're trying to get out of the darkness of being obliged to accept the form of trees. Actually, the trees born in the land of Vrindavan are not only ordinary living entities. Having held the impersonal point of view in their past lives, they now have the opportunity of seeing you in Vrindavan, and they are praying for further advancement in spiritual life through your personal association." While playing in Vrindavan in this way, Krishna's cowherd boyfriends once wanted to go to the Talavan forest, where there were many fruit trees. These fruits actually being part of Kamsa's personal garden, and he would eat from these fruits every day. And that forest was being guarded by Dhenukasura, who was in the form of an ass, and he was also surrounded by his friends who had very similar ass forms. The cowherd boys were really insistent that Krishna and Balaram go there, although the Talavan forest was one in which even the birds were afraid to fly in for fear of the demons who were present there. And when the cowherd boys entered the forest along with Krishna and Balaram, they began to immediately shake the trees, making all of the fruits fall to the ground. And of course, Dhenukasura came and attacked Balaram. After a lengthy fight between Lord Balaram and Dhenukasura, Lord Balaram whirled the demon around and threw him up into the top of a tree. And this was the fate of all of the other demons as well. We should recall from the previous podcast about the demons and which unwanted habits they represent, how Dhenukasura represents materialistic knowledge or ignorance of spiritual knowledge. It's the responsibility of devotees to be versed in transcendental knowledge, to not be on one side overly influenced by the materialistic knowledge of non-devotees, and on the other, they have to acquire the transcendental knowledge given to us in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and be versed in the truths of devotional service, the truths of rasa, the truths of our tattva or philosophy, the truths of love of Godhead, not to be aware of the science of devotional service is a form of ignorance, and that ignorance can be rooted out by hearing this killing of the Dhenukasura demon and praying to Lord Balaram for his mercy. Pralambasura was another demon who Lord Balaram killed, and he represents attachment to sex life, as well as its more subtle form, the attachment for material gain, prestige, distinction. Certainly our attachment to sexual pleasure is deep-rooted, especially in the world in which we live in today. Devotees all aspire to become free from such uncontrolled urges, and therefore we should pray to Lord Balaram, who simply with one blow is able to free us from the desire for sex life, in the same way that simply with one blow on the head of Pralambasura he was able to dispatch the demon. So pray to that fist of Lord Balaram, that beautiful white lotus hand that can just immediately remove us from this demoniac tendency. One day after Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill, Balaram wanted to dress like Krishna, and so asked Krishna's permission to wear peacock feather and flute, and therefore he went about the daily pastimes of herding cows in the guise of Krishna, and obviously except for his bodily complexion and somewhat larger size, he looked exactly like another Krishna. Just at that time, the Keshi demon came to Vrindavan. Kamsa had sent him there to kill Krishna, and when Keshi asked Kamsa, well, how do I know what Krishna looks like? He said, well, you'll see, he always has a peacock feather, and he always plays a flute. So when Keshi arrived in Vrindavan, he saw Balaram with a peacock feather playing a flute, and he immediately attacked him and kicked Balaram on the chest, attempting to kill who he thought was Krishna. When Keshi kicked Balaram, Balaram just went flying in the air and landed in some prickly bushes. Keshi's kick was so hard and Balaram's landing so rough that Lord Balaram just completely lost his breath. And when he got himself back together again, he was bruised and hungry and unhappy. So rather than going back and taking on Keshi, he just went back to Vrindavan, gave Krishna back his flute and peacock feather, and immediately went crying to his mother Rohini and snuggled up in her lap and fell asleep. Krishna, putting two and two together, put his peacock feather back and tucked his flute in his belt and went back to the bank of the Jamuna, where he saw the Keshi demon terrorizing everyone. And then, of course, we know that Krishna very easily killed that demon. So this is a wonderful pastime in which Lord Balaram reveals his, where Lord Balaram reveals his human-like pastimes and instructs us that Keshi, this horse thief, who represents the pride, false pride of a devotee, thinking that I'm a great devotee, I'm a great spiritual master, needs to be destroyed by Krishna. So we should always maintain an attitude of humility, thinking ourselves to be Krishna's servants, and nothing else but insignificant servants of the servants of Krishna's servants. In that way, we remain free from the pride that Keshi represents and can actually advance through chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly. These and many pastimes we should try to meditate on, praying to Lord Balaram tomorrow that he bestow his mercy upon us and make us a qualified servant of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and Sri Vrindavan Dham. Hare Krishna.